Good morning. Well, it's morning when I'm recording. So if you're listening in the morning, good morning. If you're listening in the afternoon, good afternoon. If you're listening in the late night, good evening. Hello. Welcome to Blending Ain't Easy, a podcast for blended families in an effort to help all of us who thrive in the blend. I am your host and the creator of this wonderful space, Jaleesa Alvarez. Welcome. If this is your first episode, I implore you to go back and listen to the prior episodes. I promise you will not be upset. Also, if you are just finding me or you've been listening to the last few episodes and you think it's a good thing, don't keep that good thing to yourself. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. Share it with your church members. Share it to that lady you see or that man you see that's going through this blended family process. Share it, share it, share it. We just want to get this word out to whoever needs it. Honestly, like, if you feel like somebody needs it and you share it, you are doing me, yourself, and that person a huge favor. If you hold on to it, don't be selfish. You being selfish. If you hold on to it, you being selfish. You pass this good word to somebody else. And that's my confidence speaking. I pray that it is a good word. And I pray that you receive it well. Well, let's get into it, guys. This is episode 5. I am so thankful to have gotten to this space because I was really scared about starting this podcast like a while ago. So I was nervous and I was doubting myself, but hey, here we are, right? We are 5 episodes and I am so excited and I pray that everyone is thriving from it. I know I am. I'm definitely benefiting from having this safe space and this outlet, and I cannot wait to start bringing on more guests. I have a few people that I've been communicating with and I think they would be amazing for you all to hear them speak. And honestly, if you're listening to me say this, if you're under the sound of my voice and you feel like you have something to say, even if you don't think you have anything to say and you just want to come and sit in my presence and bless me with your presence, and as I bless you with my presence and we share stories with each other, whether that be virtually or in person, let's do it, man. Don't shy away from that. I need you and you need me. That's just it. You know, if you believe in God's word, you know that we are all here and we need each other. And the only way that we can get that is through love and communication and connection. So if you want to be a guest and you found me, don't hesitate to reach out to me. I guess I could put like I could create a Blending Ain't Easy email or something so you can reach out to me. But if you know me, because most people who listen to this, they know me. If you know me, text me, call me, Instagram me, Facebook me, whatever you have to do. Let's talk. Let's get you on the Blending Ain't Easy podcast. Okay. Enough of that. Enough of me getting y'all to come on board. The number 5 is my favorite number. For so many reasons, right? If you know me personally, you know I am a finer woman of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. And of course, we have 5 founders. But long before I became a woman of Zeta, I loved the number 5. I do not know why. I cannot remember why. But I've always loved the number 5. So I thought it would only be fitting to be a little unorthodox and to spend, I guess, to, excuse me, for as I fumble through my words, I thought it would be fitting and unorthodox to discuss my least favorite topic on my favorite number episode. As you can see in the title, my least favorite topic is infertility. Bear with me as I work through balancing my emotions and my mental on this episode. So I ask for your grace in this episode as you listen along with me. I'm asking this long before I record this episode. before I get into the topics and things, I ask for your grace because this is a very sensitive topic for me and for others. But it's a topic that we need to talk about and we need to share. Infertility is loosely defined as the inability to conceive a child. And I say it's loosely defined as that because, let's just be honest, is that word, right? That word inability means that, like, you can't do it. And no one wants to hear that. If you heard me on previous episodes, I hate failure. I do not like it. I do not want to fail at anything. First, let me start off by saying an infertility diagnosis is never just the end. It's never like you have been diagnosed with infertility. Take it, roll with it, and go on about your business. I say that because it wasn't just the end for me. It was actually, I guess you could say, the beginning. Okay, let's get into it, y'all. Let's talk about my infertility story. As I get a little vulnerable, bear with me. As I said, give me grace. I may cry a little, but I'm human, I promise y'all. As you know, my name is Jaleesa Alvarez. I am married to a wonderful man, my husband. Here's his plug, y'all. He is a wonderful man. He is first my husband. He is also a child of God. He is a child of Daisy and Pablo Alvarez. God rest his soul. And he is the father of his son, my bonus son. He is the podcast creator of the Come On Man podcast. If you are listening to any podcast on any platform, he is there. Search him, Come On Man. So I am married to my wonderful husband, and I'm in a blended family because my husband has a son, and I have been blessed to be the additional person to be a part of his caretaking and his upbringing. I personally do not have any children that were born to me. I have been blessed to be in a lot of lives for many children. I previously was a social worker. I worked with children within the Department of Family and Protective Services, and I operated as a caregiver for a lot of those children while I worked with reunification of their families or the restart of a new family for them. In addition to that, I have brothers and I have plenty of nieces and nephews that I have the luxury of being an active aunt with them. I am super active, or at least I try to be, in all of their lives and be very present. And I have a great relationship with them. And so I'm a big part of their lives, and I try to be as supportive and as caring as I possibly can be. My husband and I have been actively trying to conceive for a little over 2.5 years. And I was diagnosed with unexplained infertility about a year ago. It was the biggest blow to every part of me. It was the biggest blow to me physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Because in your mind, right, as a young woman, you go into life and you believe that you're going to just do what it says on the fairy tales, right? You're going to go, you're going to get your education, you're going to do well for yourself, you're going to get you a nice little job and a nice car and a nice little apartment or a house, and then you're going to meet this amazing man, and you guys are going to get together, date, get married, and have children. And you honestly think, or at least, I don't know about you, but I know I honestly thought, like, that's how my life was going to go. And it has been so much different from that. And then getting the diagnosis of unexplained infertility. Let me help you understand what that means. Unexplained infertility is, and I pray that if a doctor is listening to me, you are not offended when I say this, but I pray, hey, thank you for listening. But this is how I feel as a patient receiving that information. It felt like the doctor's scapegoat of saying, I don't know why you can't conceive kids, and we're not going to try to figure out anymore. Or let me not say can't, why you haven't been able to receive to conceive children, and we're just not going to go any further. We're trying to figure it out. So I was diagnosed with unexplained infertility about a year ago, and my then physician said to me, it's unexplained, Mrs. Alvarez. That doesn't mean that it won't happen. It just means that we don't know why it won't happen or why it hasn't happened. You very well may conceive, or you may not. But we could try this. And I was given a laundry list of options that all looked like a down payment on a home, if you ask me. And they all looked very invasive, to be honest. It looked like it's not supposed to go like this. You know, in my mind, that's all I was thinking. Like, it's not supposed to go like this. So, to stay on track, diagnosis, unexplained infertility, doctors telling me you can try all this stuff. It's not guaranteed to work, but it could work. So you want to give it a shot? You want to throw out X amount of money and just give it a shot? And it was so insensitive to me, and it just felt like I was just an ATM at that point. And so I stepped back. That's what I did. I stepped back, and I got a lot of backlash for it. I stepped back because I didn't want to do it, and I was hurt, and I didn't know how to manage my hurt. And in the process of that, we were also going through a lot of other things in our blending family process, right? We were working through like fully incorporating my bonus son into our day-to-day lives. You know, as I've told you guys in previous episodes, especially the episode with my husband on episode 3, where we talked about the journey to my husband getting his son on a more consistent and regular basis, because that was something that he was struggling with before our marriage. So we were going through those things. So we were doing a lot of things, both actively with our energy and our emotions, as well as with our finances. And it just did not seem logical for me to just say, hey, babe, I know we're doing all of this stuff, but let's also throw out X amount of dollars and a 50% chance that I may conceive a child healthily. And I just, you know, as being a good steward to our finances, as well as being a good wife to my husband, in terms of like remembering that I got to also consider what he's going through as well. I made a firm decision on my own, and maybe I should have been more talkative with my husband about this, but I made this decision on my own that I was going to just throw my hands up and just stop for a second when it came to the fertility treatments. So being diagnosed with infertility while also being an active member of a blended family, that is a crazy situation, right? Like praying and crying and feeling like you are a failure because you can't have your, or you haven't had your own children, and the doctors are telling you you probably can't have your own children, while also having to actively be a participant in the co-parenting of another child. And I know a lot of people will go on two opposite ends of the spectrum on this, when some people are like, well, that ain't your child, so focus on yourself. And it's like, absolutely not. You know, the minute that I married my husband, or the minute that I decided that I was going to spend the rest of my life with my husband, so that happened long before we got married. Not long. Y'all know we got married in 9 months. But, you know, it happened before we got married. And Also, the decision to be a part of his life, not just my husband's life, but my stepson's life, the decision to be a part of that life meant that I was going to be an active participant in the raising of this child. People say it takes a village. Well, that village starts inside of your home. And so I could not just wash my hands, you know, and say, I ain't got to deal with this. And then on the opposite end of that spectrum, you'll have the people who say, like, yeah, you're supposed to be super active. You're supposed to be like a second mom, blah, 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 blah. I kind of fall in the middle on that one. I fall in the middle on that one because I firmly believe that coming from a blended family, coming from being the stepchild, I have always believed that I absolutely adore and love my stepfather. He is a blessing that God knew I needed. You know, my mama needed it and I needed it. But hey, the love for my daddy is never lost. You know what I'm saying? And I always, I hate when I say that. Y'all forgive me. My southern came out in that moment. But my father is my father. And nothing about that changes. And I didn't need another father, but I did need that man. And I pray that as my bonus son grows older and when he's 33 years old or whatever and he's talking to people, he can say, I never needed another mother. My mother was doing her role. My mother was performing well at her role. My mother was a great mother. But I did need Miss Jaleesa. I did need that woman for other reasons in my life. I did need to have that relationship with her. I did need that. So, to stay on topic, I had just made the decision that I needed to focus more on, you know, what I was dealing with at that moment, which was managing the new process of blending our family and having the relationship with my bonus son while being a supportive person as my husband, you know, enhanced his relationship with his son. We put the fertility stuff not on the back burner, but let's put it, we put it on simmer. We turned the fire down. So that is a whole process. Let's talk about it. The hardest part of infertility and blending, infertility went through the blend. The hardest part of it is seeing, and I know I pray, God, I pray I don't get backlash on this. But if I do, you know it was intentional and you know that I meant well. The hardest part is watching your spouse be a parent. And it's not to your own children. The hardest part is recognizing that you didn't get the regular life. You didn't get the traditional family. You didn't get to give birth to that child and see that man or that woman engage with that child that came from your love. That's hard. That's so hard. And it's not to say that you don't care about that child or you don't want your partner or your spouse to love on that child. It's to say that it's hard. That's just life. It's hard to watch and be like, oh, that's not my child. Physically, that child did not come from me. But it's also a teaching moment, right? It's a teaching moment. Like, it teaches you how to be kind. It teaches you how to be accepting. It teaches you that you have to love from a different place, right? In the Bible, it says that we have to, don't quote me, I'm not great at terminology, but in the Bible, it says that we have to love others as Christ loves us. And while, yes, it's hard to look and say, I didn't create this child and I may never create any children, that's hard to watch your spouse within that relationship, but God, is it rewarding. So that was like, that's like my caveat, right? It's hard to know, to see and watch your spouse parenting another child that did not come from you. But man, it's the honest to goodness, watching my husband parent is about 80% of the reason that I desire to be a parent. It's 80% of the reason that I desire to have a child for him. It's not that I didn't want children, but I was never like, 100% in. I was never like, I have to have kids. It was always, if it happened, it happened. That's mostly where I was before I married my husband. And then watching him parent and seeing him in that element made me go, I don't know if you heard it, but this is going to make me sound so social media lovey, but I'm not, I promise. The little audio where they say, I want to have all his babies, all of them. That's kind of what it was. It was like watching my husband become a, you know, being a father in that role made me go, I would give this man as many kids as he desired. I would give this man all the children that he desired to have. And so, and that just like, you know, just like opened up my little womb space, like maybe theoretically, not really, but it opened up my womb space. Like, go ahead, God, the floodgates are open. Give me some children to bear for my husband. So that's the hardest part. The hardest part is also the most, I guess, enduring part. It's the part that makes you go, you know what? That's my why. I watch him parent, and that's why I want to give him kids, because I'm watching him parent. The best part, the best part of the infertility diagnosis, while blending your family, is knowing that you can still give love. You have love to give, because while you're also co-parenting and working through your blended family process, you can't stop. You know, with kids, you can't stop. You can't just be like, I am emotional and I'm just going to sit here and not take care of you because I'm emotional, because I'm a wreck. I'm not going to take, you can't do that. I have had to cry and get up and make pancakes for a happy 8-year-old. I've had to, you know, wipe my tears in the shower, in the car, like I told you on the last episode, and go into a arcade and play my heart out and, you know, get into it, because you cannot make the children suffer because of what you're going through, right? You cannot stop. They don't understand. And even if they try to understand, it's not their fault. It's not their fault. And therefore they should not be punished for the fact that you are going through something emotionally. So the best part is that it has taught me, the blending process through this infertility battle has taught me that I have so much love to give. Like, it has taught me that I would be an amazing mother. It has taught me that I can do this. I know that I am capable. And regardless of what anybody says, regardless of what any doctor says, I am capable. I am very much capable. And also, you know, I've stayed so faithful, like, to talk about Jesus, because y'all know I love God. I wasn't always the best or the biggest believer. I always had faith. I always had a belief in God, but I never had anybody like, I didn't grow up in a super Christian family. Nobody told me I had to go to church on Sundays. I went because I wanted to sometimes. I didn't go because I didn't want to sometimes. And I never got in trouble for it. There was never any like repercussions, like, oh, you didn't go to church, or oh, you didn't pray, or oh, you didn't do this. There was never any repercussions for it. Not because my family doesn't love God, but because they were not as strict in that area. And so as I started going through this process and going through this life and blending my family and feeling like, man, like, where do I get some help from, right? Like, the doctors aren't helping me. Therapy is helping, but it's not helping. I need more. And the first thing I did was I started building my relationship with God. I started, like, taking that relationship with God, and I was like, I need more, God. And God was like, you need more than I need more. Like, give me more of your time, I'll give you more of my word. Give me more of your energy, I'll give you more of my blessings. Give me more of your faith, and I'll give you more reasons to stay faithful and more reasons to believe. And if you know me, you know I'm fervent about it. I wake up every morning, and before I deal with most people besides my husband, I am praying. I am praying for at least 10 minutes. I am journaling. I am talking to God. I am sitting with God. I don't give nobody else that time until God gets his time. So my faith has increased tremendously because I had to learn how to lean on God, because I couldn't lean on the doctors. I couldn't lean on Google to tell me something to make me feel good. I could not. And in leaning on God more and learning God's word more through this infertility journey, I learned that it's always been happening. I am not the first person, right? Like I used to think, oh, woe is me. I can't have a baby. And I was like I was the only person in the world who couldn't have a baby. And as I started talking to God and learning more, God was like, let me share this story with you. Let me talk to you about this woman in the Bible. I did not know so many women in the Bible until I was diagnosed with unexplained infertility. I learned my favorite story. My favorite story. It's a very common story. Everybody talks about it, but it hit me so close to home. Is Hannah's story in the Bible, in which they talk, bear with me as I open my notes. They talked about Hannah being, Elkanah's, right? Elkanah's wife, and Elkanah having two wives. And Hannah had no children, but the other wife, we're going to call her P. This is my my rendition of the Bible, y'all, so please bear with me. P has kids, but Hannah didn't have no kids. And Hannah kept praying, and she would cry at the entrance of the tabernacle because she felt like she was a failure, because she would watch P interact with her children and she would watch Elkanah, her husband. This was her husband, y'all. That's crazy, right? Like, I think of Bible situations and the terms that happened and things that were going on in the Bible, and I think of it like in a real life situation. Baby, the faith I got, I would need double that in order to deal with some of the stuff that these people was dealing with in the Bible. God would have to bless me with a little bit more faith, because it says in the Bible that she would feel taunted by P and her children, and she would feel like, husband, why are you doing this to me? Like, why am I sitting here and you giving them all the food and stuff like that, and I'm just sitting here with like little bitty pieces of scraps and stuff like that? And I'm probably over exaggerating, but that's how it made me feel when I read it. Like, it was like he was giving his other wife P and her kids and their kids together, he was giving them like all the good stuff, like they was getting ribeyes and baked potatoes and stuff like that, and Hannah was getting a little salad. And it didn't have no dressing or nothing. It just had a little olive oil on it or something like that. And in my mind, I can see that. And the reason why I say that, and this is not like to like tarnish anybody or to make it seem like I get treated that way. It doesn't feel like that. But watching people, not just like I said earlier, watching my husband be a parent with someone else. He has to parent with someone else. He shares a child with another person. Watching that, watching my friends have children, watching my family members have children, my brother got a lot of kids, watching all of these things happening around me, it's like they're eating. Like, that's kind of how I told it to my mom months ago. I was like, it feels like everybody's getting a plate. It feels like we all sitting at the table and everybody's getting a plate. Everybody's getting something. Everybody's getting something, and I'm not getting anything, but I'm expected to have the most faith, and I'm expected to be the most happy, and I'm expected to, just have strength. You know, when you are surrounded by people who have already had the pleasure, my terms that I used when I was talking to my mother were, I hear you trying to comfort me, but I don't receive it well because you don't understand what I'm going through, because you've already had the pleasure of receiving the greatest gift that God could ever give you, which are children. And I said this to my mother. I said this to my husband. I said this to friends. And in that moment, God said, release that. Say it. Get it off your chest. Say what you got to say. You done? You said it? Now let's work on your faith. Now let's work on you staying faithful to me. Because you said that. And now we know how you feel. We know that you feel like everybody else is eating. You've released it. Now do the next thing that Hannah did. You said it. You feel it. We know how you feel. Now what's the next thing that Hannah did? The next thing that Hannah did was Hannah went to the, she went to the altar. She went to the tabernacle. And she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. And she prayed so much. And she was praying so much that it looked like she was, looked like she was possessed. She was praying so much. She was praying so hard. She had such strong faith. And she said, God, I give it to you. God, I release this. I give this to you. It is yours. If you give me a son, God, I'm going to give him back to you. I promise you that, God. She said, I got to give him back to you. I promise you. Ain't no way. Ain't no way you bless me and I won't do this. I won't do the right thing with it. And in her prayer, she promised the Lord that if he gave her a son, she would give that son to him all the days of her life. Her prayer was so intense that when a priest saw her, he thought that she was drunk. He told her to get out of the church. She said, I'm not drunk. I'm praying to God. And he said, well, get up and go. Whatever you have prayed for, it is answered. God will answer your prayer. And as if like clockwork, God answered her prayer. God answered her prayer and gave her a son. And she did what she said she was going to do. And so, sorry, told y'all, give me grace, give me grace, give me grace. Staying faithful. That was what I had to do. I had to get into my word. I had to learn that Hannah story. Like I know that Hannah story like the back of my hand. I feel like Hannah in a lot of moments. I like any time that I would hear of, oh, I'm having a baby, or such and such pregnant, this person had a baby, look at these babies, this and this and third, here are my kids. I was fighting so many internal battles to not just break out and cry in front of people. And the only thing that has held me together is I know that when I get back home or when I get into my car or wherever I'm about to go, I'm about to sit with God. And I'm about to say, oh, God, that was hard. I got to talk about this, God. I need some help, Jesus, you know. And my faith has grown. And in growing my faith, my ability has grown. I'll give you a quickie sidebar story, right? I laugh because my friend hates when I say the word quickie. Hey, friend. She listening, so I know she's going to be like, oh, she said that word again. Little quickie sidebar story, y'all. For 2 years, I would not hold a baby. How crazy is that, right? Like I told you, I have friends with babies. My brother has like 10, 11 kids, something like that. I wouldn't hold no babies. I wouldn't hold not one baby. So let me get into how I start holding babies. Let me tell you. So let's talk about building my team. That was my next step. I got told. That's what I told you. My hard part, my best part. I started building my relationship with God, staying faithful, growing in my faith. Then my next thing was building my team. I started building my team. I started being intentional about my friendships. Like, I'm not going to be friends with this person. I don't want to be friends with these people. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I started building a different team. Some people that was on my team in the beginning, they still on my team. Some people who were on my team, they not on my team no more. And that's okay. There's no love lost in those situations. It's just, they just not there right now. I started building my team. I started meeting people, and I hope that these people, I can introduce you to these people on my podcast at some point. One of them I know I will introduce you to. She is amazing. She is a doula. She is a mother. She is a beautiful woman, both inside and out. And her baby was the first baby I held after that hiatus of not holding babies. She worked with me through meditation and understanding my body, and she spoke so much life into my conception journey. She has been speaking so much life into my conception journey, and I found her on Instagram. And let me tell you how good God is. She's right down the street from me, like right down the street from my home. And she has babies. She has babies. She has one of the cutest little plump little boys. And I saw him multiple times in our interactions, and I would say, I can't hold babies. I'm so scared to hold babies because I don't want to cry. I don't want to get emotional. And one day we were just standing there in one of our long talks, because y'all know I'm long-winded. And she said, would you like to hold him? And my mind said no, but my hands and my heart said yes. And I reached out and I held him, and he laughed, and he was so happy, and he was so playful, and he was so energetically aligned with what I needed in that moment. It transformed a fear in me that I did not know I even had. Now let's talk about the next one, is adaptability. The next thing was adapting. I built more of my team. I'm sorry. Oh, forgive me, team, for saying this, but I forgot to add y'all. So more of my team was building more of my relationship with my husband, not my father too, but my husband, building more on being open and communicating with my husband. And for a period of time, I just wouldn't tell him anything that I was feeling or going through about the fertility battle, because I was just like, he don't get it. He don't understand. So building on that relationship, building more mom friends. I have a handful of women who are moms, and they are my friends. I truly believe that. I don't use the term lightly. I have a friend who's been my friend for over 15 years, and I think about 15 years, 13 years, and she is my friend, and she's a mom, and she is my friend. She is my close friend, and she will remain a part of my team no matter what. That's my girl. And I made new friends who are moms as well. And I got to go on more faith-based journeys with them. Like, they pray with me. They pray for me. They keep me in alignment with God. They remind me that God's got my back. They speak so much life into my world. Shout out to y'all. Y'all know who y'all are. I love y'all, and I really appreciate y'all for being a part of my journey. Whether you understand it or not, they say they right there rocking and rolling with me. Adaptability. Adaptability is about change, understanding change, rolling with change, adjusting yourself through changes. So the reason that I said the infertility diagnosis is not the end, it's not just the end. So adapting, or the process of change, is the ending, the neutral zone, and the new beginning, right? So I feel like the diagnosis of infertility, that's a part of the ending, right? It's a part of the ending. But the end is not like the period. That's not where it ends. There's another step. The next thing is the neutral zone. The ending is hard. It's tough. It comes with a lot of issues. It comes with a lot of obstacles, like denial and frustration and anger and fear and resentment and things like that, and even blame, you know. And then the neutral zone. When you get into the neutral zone, you're like, okay, I'm getting in my groove, right? And for me, the neutral zone was, that was when I started talking more to God. That was when I started being more fervent. That was when I started being more intentional in my words, more intentional in my prayers, more focused, laser focused. I started putting laser focus on things like, I'm talking to God about this. I'm not just in here like, thank you, God, blah, 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 bless us, whoop de woo woo woo, have a good day, amen. No. Me and God gonna talk, and we gonna talk like we've been best friends forever, because we have been. We're going to talk like he's been knowing me for all these years, because he has and he does. And we're going to have a serious conversation, and God's going to hear me, because you can't expect God to answer prayers that he don't hear. You see what I'm saying? You can't expect God to answer prayers that you're not really bringing to him. Like, he knows your heart. A lot of people say that, oh, God knows the desires of my heart. He does. But he hear your words too, and he want to hear you say it. He want to hear you say, I need you. I need your help. So that's the neutral zone for me. And then I got to my new beginning. This is my new beginning. My new beginning is acceptance, right? A lot of people don't like it, but infertility, a diagnosis, it is what it is, right? Like they say, it may happen, it may not happen, but you might need a little help. And I have come to accept that there might be some help that I might need. I don't know what that help is because I'm not God and I'm not all-knowing. But God knows what that help is. So for me, I focus on my spiritual help. I focus on talking to God. I focus on leaving things with God. I focus on having that relationship with God so that when somebody else tells me, hey, this is what we think you need, like a doctor or a physician or something like that, I know that God is going to give me discernment to know if that's what he wants for me or not. And I also know that I have so many other options as well. Like I have accepted that I could adopt. Well, not I, we, my apologies, husband, we could adopt. We could do other things, or we could actively raise my bonus son, his son, together and do our part. And then we could let God use us in whatever way that God intends to use us. We don't know the plans, but we do know the God that we serve. And so we are free to whatever, we are open to whatever he decides to do for us. But we still pray. I still pray. My husband still prays. We still have so much faith in God to give us a child. And a lot of people think I'm crazy when I say that, but I believe that God can do amazing things and that he will still put me in the right places to have a child, to get a child, whatever it needs to be. If I have to go through IUI, if I have to go through IVF, I will only do it if God says for me to do it. And I talk to God on a regular basis, and I know when God is telling me no. And so far, God has been telling me, not yet. Like, keep trying like this, or keep doing this, or just keep talking to me. Just keep praying with me. It's not the right time. That's what I've been hearing from God. So that's why I haven't gone back to the fertility doctor, because God hasn't said IUI is it, IVF is it. God hasn't said that. Doctors have said that. God has not said that. And so for me, I've been just, you know, I've been talking to God. I've been waiting on God, but I've been being faithful and I've been following his word. So one of the things that God told me to do was to take care of my body, take better care of my body. And so that's what I've been doing. I've been taking better care of my body. I've been eating a little better. I've been making sure that I like walk more often, get my cardio in. I've been working actively to lose weight. So I've been doing that. And that's been really helpful. I've been consistent with my water, consistent with my vitamins. And those are the things that I was guided by God to do. And so that's what I've been sticking with. So that's my new beginning. My new beginning is following God's word and taking really good care of my body. Because in my prayer, what I received from God was, you have to take good care of your body so that it can be a safe space to carry this baby. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm learning to take better care of my body so that it will be a safe place to create and carry a baby. That's my new part. That's my new beginning. And the growth. The growth is being able to have these conversations. The growth is being able to talk about this, being able to say it. It was something I was so ashamed of at first. It was something that I wanted to keep a secret. I didn't want to tell nobody because I was like, oh, they're going to blame me. And boy, was I right. When I told people about the infertility diagnosis, they were like, oh, it's probably because you was living, you know. They were like, it's because you were living. It was because you was out there doing the most when you was younger. You were living. How dare you? You were living. And now that's why you can't have no babies. You need to stop, and you should have stopped a long time ago. Do you think it's because you was doing X, Y, and Z when you was in your 20s that that's why you can't have no kids? And it's just like, imagine sitting across from a person judging you for doing things that they also did. You see what I'm saying? Like, people be judging you like you don't know that they had a past too. like imagine sitting across from somebody and you're pouring your heart out and you're saying, I was diagnosed with unexplained infertility and they say I may never have kids and I don't know how to cope with this. And they're like, it was because you were living. How dare you go out there and do everything that the rest of the people in the world are doing and have done. And they still get pregnant. But you are going to be the example that God uses. You are going to be the example that God uses. The level of fear and embarrassment that came across me because they said it to me so much that I honestly believed them. I'm embarrassed to say that. They said it to me so much that I believed them. I believed that because of my past dealings, God was punishing me by not giving me any children. And I had to find it in the Bible to know that that was not happening. I had to find it in my heart. I had to find it in my conversations with God that ain't it. God is not just sitting here like, excuse my verbiage on this, but she had premarital sex and therefore I am going to punish her and I'm going to make sure she doesn't have any children. She took birth control for an extended period of time to prevent herself from having children out of wedlock with men that she knew that she did not want to go on the parenting journey with. I am going to curse her. She is not going to have any children. Imagine hearing somebody say that to you and, you know, hearing people say things like that. And that's what your thought process becomes. I am declaring today and I'm telling you, and I pray that if you are going through a fertility battle and somebody has placed blame upon you, I'm praying that you hear this. I'm praying that you hear this and you receive it well. God is not punishing any of us for doing any of the things that we did. Infertility is something that is happening in your body. God is moving through your body. God is moving through your spirit. And God is going to bless you in whatever way that he feels he can bless you and he should bless you. You are not the problem. You are not the reason for the infertility. And you're going to get through it. And it's not the end. It's the start of a new beginning. So I don't have, or at least I don't think I have any resources, but I do want to offer some tips. If you are battling fertility issues or if you know someone that is battling fertility issues, I want to give you these few tips because I think that they will be helpful. These are things that are personal to me because this is what I wish I would have had at the start of my fertility journey. Be kind. It really costs nothing. It costs absolutely nothing to be kind to people, to not say things like what I just said about it being their fault, or to not say things to yourself about it being your fault. It's not, you know, be kind to first. If you're the one going through the fertility journey, be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself and say, you know what? This sucks. It hurts. But God, right? There's an Isaac Curry song and he says, you know, you were about to lose everything but God. So for me, I resort to that song a lot. That song and Yolanda Adams, Never Give Up. Those two songs, they keep me reminded that, like, I'm not giving up and God has a phenomenal way of making things work out. Like, yeah, they told me I had infertility, unexplained infertility, but God says I'm going to have a baby. Don't know how I'm going to get it, but I'm trusting in God. The second thing is pray for and with them. A prayer partner to a friend in need is a blessing indeed. Sound like a Dr. Seuss book, but like having friends and family members and comrades who will pray with you and pray for you is so big. If you will pray with your friend or your family member that's battling fertility issues, you don't know how much that will help them. And it will help you. It will help you. God will see that as well and know that you are doing the right thing. You are spreading the word of God. And if you don't have anybody who will pray with you, if you're going through it and you don't have anybody who will pray with you, find me. Find me. I'm going to put my email, my number, whatever. Find me. I will pray with you. I will pray for you. We can pray every morning together. I want to make sure that you know that you have a friend in Jesus. and a friend that will help you in your walk to God. These two are going to like kind of like cross over each other, but don't cut them out of your life. They still want, and something that I have learned of myself is need. We need to see and know that God is still in the blessing business of creating babies. I used to have people in my family that would say, oh, mostly my mama. And y'all know I love my mama, so don't come for my mama. Don't say nothing crazy about my mama. But my mama would say, oh, I didn't tell you such and such was pregnant. Because I would find out that these people were pregnant and stuff through other means. And I talked to my mama 3-4 times a day. And so it bothered me. I was like, Mom, why you didn't tell me that such and such was pregnant? She was like, oh, I didn't tell you because I didn't want you to get emotional. I didn't want to hurt your feelings. I know that you're trying to have a baby and it would hurt your feelings. And while I understood while she was doing that, I had to explain, Mama, I need to know those things. I don't want to be left out because you're guarding my feelings. It feels like I'm being shunned for me. That's what it felt like. And I was like, I needed to hear that. I needed to know that it was still happening. I needed to know that not because, oh, I need to know other people are having babies. No, I needed to know that this person has been living life. I know these people personally, so I know what they're going through. I know what they've done. I know the things that they've done that the other world would condemn them, but that the world would condemn them for. But God is still blessing them with babies. I needed to know that. I needed to see that. I needed to hear that. And don't take that from me. Things like, you know, like baby showers and birthday parties. Don't say, oh, I didn't invite Jaleesa because I know she be going through it and I don't want her to get in her feelings. Like, invite people, tell people, keep them in the loop. But this is going to be a little oxymoron to that. The other tip is to respect the limitations. I know that sounds crazy when I just asked you to include them. But let me explain. Inclusion is what people want. I want you to give me the invitation, but I want you to respect when I decline. Like for me personally, right? I have declined a lot of baby showers in the past. And it's not because I don't love that person and I don't care for that person or whatever. It's because I knew in that moment I couldn't be there. But there were other moments that I probably could have been there. You know what I mean? So I have been, you know, working through this journey for a few years now. And what I have learned is I have to be open and express my limitations. Like, I've gotten baby shower invitations and stuff, and I've been able to say, hey, I thank you for inviting me to your baby shower. I really appreciate you sharing, you know, being open to sharing your wonderful event with me. I am not in a position emotionally to show up, but I want to give you and your baby a blessing, right? And that was something that I have been able to do lately. And I've always been big on being open and honest in my communication. And I just think that it's better for me. And I don't know if other people would agree with this, but it was better for me that I got the invitation and then I got to respectfully decline and send my gift electronically or send my gift through my mother or something like that, because I still want to bless you. I still want to be a part of that baby's village. But today I can't show up for you because I have to show up for myself. And those are my tips. Those are the things that I think would be a blessing, and I think that would help you or help yourself if you're in the infertility journey, or help you to be an advocate or a friend or an ally or a supporter of someone who is in an infertility journey. I thank you so much. I thank you so much for taking this 55-minute journey with me and listening to this episode and every episode of the Blending Ain't Easy podcast. I pray that it gave you insight and that you received something that will be lasting from this episode. As always, I want to send you off with peace, love, and many, many, many blessings. Blessings onto whatever journey that you're on. And blending ain't easy, but at least you're killing it. I love you. Good day.